gonna stay right under the blood, where the devil can do me no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. I'm gonna stay right under the blood, where the devil can do me no harm. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. We do certainly give you a welcome in our service tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just want to thank everyone for your prayers. Phillips, our brother Gary's mentioned, everything's went well with the hip operation. And he rang me, he must have been only out, and he's ringing me. He was all excited, ringing me on the phone from Dublin to say all went well. And I think he was on a fishing trip. My mum, you know what my mum's like. You're bound to know what my mum's like by now. But she means well, you know. But Philip says all went well, and I think he'll be getting home on Friday then. On Sunday, you know, when I went down to see wee Etta, she was really bad, you know, when scared the life out of Vicky and Rob. She couldn't breathe or anything. And me and Sharon went in on Sunday and prayed and everything, and she's home and well. And I'm going to go and try and go around and see them again at the house. And you can't make people serve God, but the Holy Spirit can. I tell you, He can do it. You and me can't, but the Holy Ghost can. And we just pray the Holy Ghost moves on them, and we know Vicky's saved, but Robert's never professed yet to be saved, but God has definitely spoke to him many times. And then I went on Monday to see Jenny's mum. And you know, Jenny's mum, she hasn't been saved. She's, I'm not sure what age. She must be maybe coming near 70, but she's got saved. And the wee minister went to see her from their own church. And I don't know how often they went till it, but he went anyway, and she said, good on him, she said to me. He was a gentleman, and he came the second time. And she says, you know, Tommy, when I prayed the sinner's prayer, there's a weight lifted off me. And she says, I'm ready to go. And she says, I'm ready. And she was in great spirits. And she's really believing, and she's testified to several people what she's saved. Everybody that's been seeing her, she's been telling them she's saved. And Ian prayed the sinner's prayer as well, and he got saved. And I maybe did mention it on Sunday, but you know, years ago, I don't know which hall we were in, but one Sunday night I preached on the darkness, the 3 hours of darkness, and John prophesied in that meeting and over Jenny that her parents would come, and I remember that. He actually told her, the first person you meet tonight can home, they're going to come. Now, the years have passed, but they've come. They've both come. And they've got saved. And isn't it wonderful? And we prayed for the Lord to heal her. And I believe God can heal her. And it was so encouraging what John preached on Sunday morning about sowing, because it encouraged me to go on ahead and do it. Keep praying for people. Keep showing the Word of God. And, you know, if you sow long enough, and you do it long enough, there's going to be growing. Something's going to come forth. That's the law of nature. The law of nature is, when the original seed puts forth, it brings forth something. Isn't that right? And thank God for the Word of God as a seed. And may the Holy Ghost germinize it. So we just thank the Lord for what the Lord's been doing. The Lord's been so good, you know. And I've had plenty of time with no work to praying and everything. It's bad on one side of it, good on another side of it. It's the vicious circle, you know. Plenty of time, but and then there's other things you need. But praise God anyhow. The Lord's in control, praise God. I want tonight just to look at this, Romans chapter 8. And I've probably preached this before. I'm not sure when, but I probably have. And I want to just read a few verses, and we'll go through a few verses, and I'll share some thoughts tonight. And the real thought is no condemnation. And there's so many Christians, and they're still condemned. They're condemned. And many times they miss church. They don't pray like they should. They don't do things like they should because they're condemned. But the Bible says we're not condemned. So what condemns us? It's the enemy. He wants to condemn us, doesn't he? Praise God. Let's read from verse 1 of Romans 8 tonight. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's no way we can overcome in the flesh without the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we need the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace toward each and every one of us. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went the whole way to Calvary and suffered and died alone. We bless you that the grave couldn't hold him, but that God raised him from the dead on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. The tomb is empty, and the cross is empty, and Christ indeed is risen. We thank you then for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were gathered. And cloven tongues like as of fire rested on each of them, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the day of Pentecost. We bless you tonight, Lord, that you've never changed. You are the same. And Father, we need you again this evening, even in this house tonight. We plead your blood, and we ask for the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit on all of our lives afresh in the name of Jesus. I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you do. Pray again for Iris Redmond tonight, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I bless her in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask that the cancer go out of her, and you'll heal her in Jesus' name. Pray for Ian as well. You'll touch him and help him to testify of Christ as a Savior. Bless Jenny as her brother has prayed, and give her your strength and your grace in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, for all the others, been praying for Philip as well, and we had an all Victorian Rob and all our children and family circles move and touch each and every one of them in Jesus' precious name. My Lord, we pray that you'll get the glory tonight. Lord, that you'll exercise us to pray prayers of faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In Romans 5 and 1 it says this, therefore being justified by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Tonight it says no condemnation. No condemnation for the believer. And you know, there's some things that we say and we're wrong. And many times Christians say we can't have perfection. No, well, that's not true. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible actually says the opposite to that. The Bible says we are made perfect through him. So to say you can't be, you're denying what the Bible says. The Bible says we are made perfect through him. Because it's not us or our righteousness, it's his. And his righteousness pleased God and appeased God. And we have it tonight. You see, we're not working with anything of our own. We're working with what the Lord has. And the Lord has Romans 4, which is the imputation of righteousness applied to every man and woman that will believe. And then we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps us. You know, many times we would make mistakes. The flesh would get the better of it. Better of us many times it is. But you think of when you weren't saved, it ruled you. But it doesn't rule you no more. Because you're saved. And you have the Holy Spirit now. And you have someone to help you. Praise God. Romans 5 verse 16 and 18 says this. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one, the condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 18. Therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification by life. Adam brought condemnation to the human race. That's who brought it, Adam. But Jesus Christ frees man from the condemnation. So when you have Jesus Christ, you come under Romans 8 verse 1. There's now no condemnation. Because you're no longer sitting under what you received from the first Adam. But now you have Christ. And Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, the second man, the Bible calls him. He frees you from what the first man put on you. And I'll tell you, he put it on everybody. And anybody that thinks it wasn't on them, they're blinded. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ frees us. And as we were condemned by the sin of one, we have righteousness by the righteousness of the other. Praise God. The sentence of condemnation is lifted. And every one of us had a sentence of condemnation on us because of the first Adam. But that sentence of condemnation was lifted because of Christ on the cross. He lifted it. So we're free. So we cannot be judged from the sin what Adam done. We can't be judged for it because Christ paid the price for it. Thank God for that tonight. Look at Romans 8 verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the Bible's saying, not only has Christ paid the price so that you're not condemned, but Jesus is praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me and you tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Now you know, and I know, Peter denied the Lord and he did all them things, but don't forget the Lord prayed for him. And the Lord said, Satan's desire to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Now it's great if I was to pray for you or you were to pray for me. You would appreciate that. I certainly would appreciate that. But I want you to think tonight then of this. The Lord's prayed for you. The Lord has prayed for you. And the Lord makes intercession for us. Thank God. that he makes intercession for us. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. The condemnation, Romans 5, 16, 18, tells us that. But look here, 1 John chapter 3, or the Epistle of John, 1 John 3, verse 20, 22. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We as Christians are not condemned. And our hearts cannot condemn us. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, we cannot be condemned. We've accepted him. We've accepted him, and we're accepted of him. The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. So the Lord's your righteousness tonight. You've none of your own. I've none of my own. I don't approach God on my righteousness. I approach God in Romans 4. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God cannot deny that. That'll bring me right into his presence. And God will hear me. And God will hear you. And when God hears you and God hears me, then you can come into verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because he keepeth commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. We do them because of the Holy Spirit leads us. You see, when a man's really born again, he won't be like he used to be. You hear people, they're saved, but there's no change. Well, then they're not really saved. They might have raised their hand or whatever, but a person that's really saved, the Bible says, is born again, is a new creature. Not only the new creature, old things pass away. They won't want to do the things they used to do. They're changed. Revelations 12, verse 10 to 12, let's hear what it says. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he have a short time. The only thing that we can overcome the devil by, and it's not the only thing, it's wrong to say the only thing. It's like when people make the statement, and we all get that, all I can do is pray, as if that's pathetic. Well, I want to tell you that's wrong to look at it like that. The best thing you can do is pray. Pray is a mighty weapon God's given us. And because he's made intercession for us, we have an open channel into the very heavens and into the very presence of God. And the devil's going to accuse you, and he's going to accuse me, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, I tell you, every one of us can go back to the time when we met with the Lord. And the Lord changed us. Changed us. You know, I was talking to a man the day, and I was telling him, he mentioned some fella, and I says, I knew him years ago when I wasn't serving the Lord. And he says, that's before the Lord changed you. And that's the truth. Now, that fella that I knew, he's never been changed. He's still the same. He's still suffering and drinking and doing all the things that he did. He's still doing them. But a man that's saved doesn't do them things. He's changed. You say, brother, well, he never make a mistake. He might, but he's an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for a sin. I tell you, he's hope all the time. He's never without it. It's with him, for Christ is the hope. And you know what Romans 5 says, for hope maketh not ashamed. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation that was in Adam has been lifted off us because of what Christ done on the cross. Condemnation came in Genesis chapter 3. We know that. When man disobeyed God. And the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And that man's name was Adam. That's how sin come. That's the Bible. And it was a result, because of that result, we had fear, guilt, a smitten conscience, all in Adam. And the cause of condemnation was sin. That's what condemned us, sin. But God, through Jesus Christ, dealt with the sin question. And he dealt with it once for all, you know. He dealt with it on the cross. It's been dealt with. And the law also brings condemnation. Believers sometimes live under clouds of condemnation, unforgiveness, and sin. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And the devil wants us to live like that. He wants us to live under condemnation, but God wants us to live under freedom, not condemnation. We must not give him ground on which to condemn us. The believer also must learn to distinguish between satanic condemnation and conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. There's satanic condemnation, but then there's Holy Spirit conviction. And many times the Holy Spirit moves us and many times convicts us. If we're just going out of line a bit, he corrects us. Thank God for it. And that's not satanic condemnation, but there is another condemnation that's on people tonight, and they want to kill themselves and they want to harm themselves. That's from the pit of hell. That's not the Holy Spirit. To them which in Christ Jesus, it tells us in Romans, we're either in Adam or we're in Christ. There's no in between. We're in one or the other. There's two federal heads of the human race. The old man and the new creation. We're under one or the other. There's only two spirits in the world today. There's the Holy Spirit and there's the unholy spirit. There's the Antichrist and then there's the Spirit of God. There's only two spirits working. And you know the Bible tells us we all once walked according to the courts of this world, led by the prince of power of the air, which now worketh. And you know that word, worketh, means energizes. And the children of disobedience, it energizes in them. And we need to be energized by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. You see, the world think what they're doing it for themselves. They're not. There's something moving them. There's something energizing them. It's energizing them to do it. It's inspiring them to do the evil. It's inspiring them to do the bad. And we need to be inspired to do the good. And the sons of God are inspired by the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Spirit inspire us. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now I'm going to say tonight, how can you walk in the Spirit if you deny the baptism of the Spirit? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism, but there's many fillings. And we need to be filled. We could say, oh, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Well, we need filled again. We need God to fill us. May the Lord fill us. And may we walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the more we walk in the Spirit, the less we'll apply to the flesh. And the less we apply to the flesh, the more we're applying to the Spirit. And may God help us to starve the one and feed the other. Romans 6:18-22. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:18-22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So you see, we're not serving the devil. We're serving the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. Romans 8:2-4. This is our text. The law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So the real Christian's not, you know, you're not bound by the law of sin and death. If people say, well, we're all going to die, that's actually a false statement. You say, Brother Tom, how is it? Him that's born of God cannot die. Does your Bible read like that? Because mine does. How many agrees with that tonight? Him that's born of God cannot die. Now, you mightn't go in the catching up. Your physical flesh could die, but you're not dead. The old suitcase has been laid down. You've changed coats, but you're living. You're living more than you ever were living. Because Paul said absent from the body and present with the Lord. There's no death for the real Christian. None at all. Christ has conquered it and dealt with it. And not only has Christ conquered it and dealt with it, and not only when the Lord comes, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up into the air to meet the Lord in the air. And then after them, messengers go down to the Jews and preach them and seal them. And at the end of that, you know, we're coming back with the Lord. And we're going to stand on the Mount of Olives. But do you know there's a day coming when all the graves will open as well? And every man will be raised and have to give an account. I tell you, there's a lot in this book, isn't there? In Christ, no condemnation. Positionally, you see, of the walk after the flesh, the law of sin and death, after the spirit, the law of righteousness, no condemnation. And you know why there's no condemnation? Because we're in the vine, John 15. We're in the vine. And because we're in the vine, we're not in condemnation. Look at John 15 for a moment, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye could do nothing. But what does verse 6 say? And if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, and withered, and men gather him and cast him into the fire, and they're burnt. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. People talk about asking what they will, but don't miss the bit before. The bit before, it's when we're abiding in him. We can't ask what we will when we're doing our own thing. But when we're abiding in the Lord, we can ask what we will. And we're not condemned. We've already dealt with that. Because we're already in Christ, we're not condemned. We can ask what we will. Isn't that wonderful? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Lord wants us to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Not just a bit of fruit, but much fruit. Now I know in the natural, listen, and I maybe don't know as much as this as some other fellas, but I do know a bit about it, because I learned it. And I learned it by experience. I went for a few winters, as you know, several winters I went, you were starting probably now, and you go into the orchards and you prune them. And you cut the life clean out of the apple trees. And any wee woman looking out her window will say, them two fellas are destroying my trees. But they're actually doing them the power of good. And them trees is cut back. And they're pruned back. And you have to know what bits to take off. And you have to know what bits to leave on. Or you'll make a mess of it. But the right man with the right tools pruning it cuts it back. And next year it'll produce more fruit. And I tell you, sometimes the Lord clips us back, doesn't it? And it's sore at times. But that's so that we're going to produce more fruit. It's not so we'll fall to the wayside and die. It's so that we can bring forth more fruit. And I tell you, I'll never forget it, and I've told you it before. I went one day with a fella, and the woman come back, and she said, don't be taking too much of that tree. It's a great tree. And when she come back, but she was not happy. We near got chased. He hardly left a branch on it. He tucked it. I tell you, he trimmed it. And about a year later, we were back there, and she called the two of us round. She says, you'll not believe it, Stanley. You called this wee man. She said, Stanley, look at that tree. I never had apples like it. It was the best thing it needed. You see, when it's left to its own devices, left to its own devices, there was plenty. It looked big. It looked a plenty on it, but a lot of it was dead. And when it was cut back, it didn't look as big. But what it had was living. And I tell you, we want a few that's living rather than a whole bunch that's dead. Isn't that right? Never go by the size of nothing. It's like the boy says, it's not the size of the boy, but it's the size of the dog, but the size of the fight in the dog. And I tell you, pruning, and the Lord prunes us because we're in the vine. It's not right, because he wants us to bring forth much fruit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are you baptized into one body, whether you be Gentiles, whether you be bond, whether you be free, and you've made to drink of the same spirit. Baptized into one body by one spirit, the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need God to prune us, and God does prune us. And I'm going to close because I want to leave time for praying. You know, I'm sure everybody here, I'm sure, has heard Bob preaching on the eagles. Maybe you haven't heard Bob preaching on the eagles. Well, you need to go and hear him. Because you haven't heard preaching, do you hear Bob preaching on the eagles? And you're saying that's a statement. And it's a statement. And it's a true one. I'm telling you something, that man preached on it. Now I know you've internet full of smart alecks that'll tell you that an eagle can't live to the age Bob said, and an eagle doesn't do this, and an eagle doesn't do that. But you know the difference. Bob lived amongst them, and he's seen it, and they didn't. That's the difference. It's like when a man tells you, you know, he believes such and a thing. And then you go and hear the man, and you listen to him, and he doesn't believe anything like your title. It's not right. Not many times it happens. But what I'm telling you is, the Bible says that the eagle stirreth his nest. Now you could read that and mightn't understand it, but when you heard Bob preaching on the eagles, you knew what it was about after that. Because Bob said in Australia, the eagle, after he had all the branches and briars and twigs, he got the kangaroo wool and he put it in the nest. And then in the north part of the world, it could be a fur of a wool, of a sheep. Or in the north part of the world, it could be rabbit fur. But the eagle lines the nest with some sort of fur so that the babies are comfortable. But when the mother eagle starts to stir the nest, it takes the fur out and it leaves them jaggy bits. And the wee eagle's no more comfortable than the jaggy bits. And sometimes God makes us that we're not comfortable. There's a few jaggy bits, isn't there? And that's what it's like. It's like the vine. We need clipped. Like the apple tree, like any tree. And God does that. And that's because the Lord loves us. And you know the Bible actually says if we can't receive correction, we're illegitimate. We're not really sons. But a real son and a real daughter. How many of you agree with me? In 2023, if you say one word today wrong to somebody, they're ready to, that's it, all over. No, but Christians today quit for the small. It's the truth I'm saying or not. They'll quit for the smallest thing. But God wants us to go forward. The enemy will tell you to quit. He tells me it all the time. I'm sure he's telling you that at some stage you're wasting your time. There's a brother, preach well Sunday, keep on sowing. The enemy will tell you, and look, when you regard all everything that's happening, you wouldn't do a thing. But God wants us to do it anyhow. And the eagle stirs the nest so that we're uncomfortable. But when that wee eagle comes out of that nest and gets on the rock, we just like that old rock. It's hard and it's cold. Well, there's one thing he doesn't realize about it never moves. Never moves. It's permanent. The nest he was in is not permanent. But the rock's permanent. And you know how the mother eagle, how he describes a mother eagle, that she takes them babies up on her wings and they climb on board. She leaves them all night with a fur out of the nest. They're uncomfortable all night and they're screaming and squirming and moving. And the next morning, they're glad to see the feel her fur and they jump on. And she goes straight up with them. And she drops them off. And they start falling. I know some smart fella on the internet will tell you they don't know this happens. But I believe it does happen. And then she sweeps down over them, under them, and she picks them up before they fall to their death. And every morning the same things happen. But you know one thing about it, when she gets them back after that wee bit of a flight to that rock, they're glad to get on to it, aren't they? And sometimes you think the Christian life's hard, but if you go back out in the world for a wee bit, and then you come back, you'll see, you'll be glad to see where you are. People out there has no hope. There's no hope. And you know, in the third time, when she takes them wee eagles up, she doesn't go below them. She goes above them. Not below them. And she goes above them and she screams. And when they look at her, she sees that her wings is out. And they put their wings out and they start flying because they realize they have two wings. They were always an eagle. They were born to be an eagle. And you're born to be an eagle. You were always an eagle. You didn't become an eagle. You were always an eagle. You're always a child of God. Once you're saved, you're always a child of God. And God knew you, and he predestined you ever before the foundation of the world. And even so, God stirs our nest. It's all for a reason. And there's no condemnation tonight, because God has dealt with the condemnation that was in every man on the cross. Let's come and pray tonight and seek the Lord for time this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your word. And we know there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to walk in the Spirit, after the Spirit. Lord, that you'll move us with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you can do more in 5 minutes when we are in the Spirit than we could ever do in a lifetime in the flesh. We ask you and we welcome the Holy Spirit into these meetings. We welcome the Holy Spirit to their lives afresh. And we know we have the Spirit, but we want more of that same Spirit, more of that same anointing. And we pray tonight you'll bless your people, strengthen your people, encourage your people in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary as he goes on Saturday to preach and here on Sunday morning. I pray you'll bless him, you'll use him, you'll anoint him, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, you'll bless each one, Lord, that steps into the pulpit to preach the truth of the gospel. Bless them and anoint them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, we do thank you for your own people, Israel, again tonight. We pray for the peace of Israel. We know that they're all going to come against Israel, but you're going to save her, Lord. She's going to cry to you and turn back to you, and you're going to save her. But I pray, Lord, that takes place, that you'll move in your church. And Lord, I mean the true church of God, universal. That you will move upon your people with the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you'll revive us in the midst of the years. Lord, that you'll pour out your Spirit of supplication upon us and cause us to come and to seek your face, and even, as we heard on Sunday, to break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord. Help us, Lord, tonight, I pray, and fill everyone in this meeting tonight. Bless all that's been prayed for and meet every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.